Or you can say, you can steal it.
Dude, I can't steal
it. I gave you permission.
Welcome back, everybody, to another episode of Dive Into Diet. I'm with the star of the show, Lucas Schmidt. What's going on, man?
Herb's back.
Herb is back.
Herb is back.
What does that mean? Tell the audience what that means.
That means if you watched the last episode,
which will be linked below.
Look at that. Which was about herbs. It's just a cheesy joke about Herb. He's come back to visit
it's
us.
It's a spelling.
Today.
It's a spelling.
It's
thing.
Yeah. Herbs. H-E-R-B.
Silent H.
I'm going to talk about three more herbs today that we can
use
in cooking.
Now, do you even like these? Do you like these herbs?
I do. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm probably not going to pick an herb I don't want to talk about or that I don't like.
So it's safe to say Lucas does like these herbs. The first one went over basil, rosemary, and thyme.
Yeah.
What are these?
Cilantro, mint, and bay leaf.
Cilantro is so interesting because some people just hate it.
Yeah, so I think last time it just kind of happened this way. It was like most popular, pretty popular, least known. That's kind of how it's going on this list as well. We'll start with the most popular, or most known, because some people absolutely hate cilantro.
It's like a real thing. Like,
yeah, I actually think it's a genetic thing with the taste buds. It either tastes like soap or it tastes like heaven. So,
yeah.
But even those that love the taste, I'm included, could understand why it tastes like soap, which is really weird. It's like, yeah, I understand how you think it tastes like soap, but I don't care. I like how it tastes. I don't know.
Yeah, it's interesting.
To me, cilantro smells a little bit. This sounds real. Everyone's going to hate cilantro, but I still love it, so maybe you won't. It smells a little bit like stink bugs, too. You know, like stink bugs, when they go off, that chemical smell? Cilantro can sometimes, like if you blindfolded me and had a stink bug and cilantro, I might get them mixed up.
You're really selling the cilantro.
But it makes me wonder, why do I want to eat it? That's terrible.
Guys, if you love cilantro, don't let this change your...
I'm going to confess something really horrible. It's not really that horrible. It was an accident. I have tasted the stink bug chemical before, not knowing. Yeah, I had a bowl of beef stew one time, and I was in a hurry. So I took it in the car, and it was all I had to eat. I had a rehearsal at the theater, and I wasn't going to get food for a long time. So I was scarfing this down, and it started to taste really weird. Not horrific, just weird. And I thought, what is that? Is something off with this beef? It's gone off. What's wrong with this? And so I looked down. There was a stink bug floating.
Oh.
It had flown when I was going to the car. It had fallen in, I guess, from outside. Because it was just... And the worst part is like, well, I fished it out. I thought, I'm not wasting that beef. So I picked the beef out. I was like, that's going to be the most filling part, at least. I can't. I'll starve. So I did continue and finish off that.
That's
beef,
quite
so.
The confession.
It is a confession.
We've all
what
been
were
there.
We talking about? Cilantro.
Cilantro.
That's right. Let's move on. So cilantro, very common, mostly associated, I think, in America with like South American food, Mexican particularly, Central American food, Mexico, salsa.
Yep.
Almost any Mexican dish, you know, if you go to a restaurant or you make it traditional, you're going to probably see some cilantro shredded up on top.
Mm-hmm.
Cilantro is used in Middle Eastern cooking as well, and some Asian food as well.
Mm.
So actually, one of my favorite pairings with cilantro is like fresh pineapple and cilantro is wonderful together, which is probably more of an Asian kind of thing to do, but it's delicious. So let's start with the nutrition part, though, the boring part. Yeah, and as I've mentioned, if you watched the previous episode, we talked about how a lot of these... I wish herbs were more studied in the clinical setting. So the research doesn't meet the standard I would like. There's a chemical in cilantro called dodecanol, but not O-L. It doesn't end in O-L. It's an A-L.
Okay.
So I don't know if that's worth noting. I'll spell it in case anybody wants to Google this chemical further. D-O-D-E-C-E-N-A-L. Dodecanol. Mm. It's an antimicrobial, meaning antibacterials, you know, things that grow where you don't want them to grow. And it may, the big word is may, help protect your body against infections caused by tainted food, particularly salmonella. That doesn't mean if you eat a handful of fresh cilantro, you can eat rotten eggs. I'm not saying that.
Well, it does kind of seem that herbs have that like all of them have that in common. They're a little protective
antimicrobial,
of the food.
I'm wondering if that's, I don't know if that's why bugs don't like a lot of herbs. Like, you know, some, they say plant these herbs in your garden to prevent certain insects from coming. I don't know if the chemical's too strong for the insect. Another cool fun fact maybe people don't know about cilantro is it's the same plant that coriander comes from. Have you heard of coriander? It's not as well known as cilantro. Coriander is a seed. It's like a little round. It's very citrus flavored. It doesn't taste like cilantro leaf. But coriander is used in Indian cooking and Middle Eastern cooking a lot. It's delicious. It's wonderful. Ground coriander or whole, they'll cook it, infuse it in oils and things. But they're all, it's that's the same plant. It's
you
the same plant.
You know what I get cilantro confused with sometimes is chives.
Chives?
Chives.
Oh. Chives is an onion.
Yeah.
It's like a wild onion.
And cilantro looks this, it looks similar.
It looks similar. It looks similar if you buy it dried, especially. You can buy dried chives and dried cilantro. I prefer cilantro fresh for the flavor.
Yeah.
Dried cilantro to me does not at all taste like fresh. It has a completely different flavor. For me, it does. It could just be
so
my
like
taste
buds. Cooked cilantro.
No, I like fresh. I mean, you can cook it. I prefer to put it fresh on something after it's cooked.
Fresh versus dry.
Because it wilts a little bit. Not my favorite. But that was the primary. The primary sort of medicinal purpose I found was the antimicrobial aspect. Flavor-wise, it pairs well mostly with savory, although some sweet, particularly fruit. You know, tropical fruits and things like that. I like it in salsa, of course. You can't have salsa without cilantro in it. That's ridiculous. It goes well with beef, chicken, pork, anything that, you know, Cuban food as well, I should note, uses cilantro. Black beans, great with cilantro on top. I consider them incomplete without cilantro on top. And it goes well with tomato, actually rice with fresh fruit. If you cook some jasmine rice and fresh pineapple and fresh cilantro, it's wonderful.
Yep.
So that's sort of what I would do to cilantro. Unless it tastes like soap to you, then you can just squirt some Dawn dish soap on your
rice. If you fall in that category, just move on to the next one.
Next one is mint. Actually, mint's very well known. It's not, I don't think mint is commonly cooked with. Like, you maybe don't think of mint as something,
I don't think of mint
on my chicken.
I don't think of mint as an herb, really. I think of
what
it
think
as
of
just a pure flavor. Like, I think of mint
fair
flavor.
Enough. Yeah, like mint oil. A lot of times mint oil is used to flavor chocolate.
Yeah.
Mint chocolate.
Yeah.
Or artificial, like they copy it in the artificial
But
sense.
You're right. Mint is an herb.
Oh, yeah. It's a leafy herb. Mint's great because it's really cheap to buy. It comes in so many varieties. Like if you went down to Evergreen down the road, shout out to Evergreen.
Shout out Evergreen.
They have usually, I don't want to say they don't, anytime I've gone there, I've been able to find, they've labeled it like chocolate mint. It's a little mint. It has a little bit slightly of a chocolate mint flavor. Spearmint, pineapple mint, orange mint. There's all kinds of mint. Mint, if you saw it in the wild, you'd think it was just an invasive weed. It grows really aggressively. So most of the time when people buy it, they buy it and keep it in pots because they don't want it to take over their garden. And it'll come back every year. So it's perennial.
That's
if you plant it in the wild, it usually, unless the soil goes bad or, you know, it'll come back on its own. It's commonly used as a tea. You know, you can buy mint tea, which is just dried mint leaves in a little tea bag. Mint medicinally or clinically, I can't say clinically because, again, there's not enough randomized study on it. But its primary function in that world is for digestive relief. So IBS issues, stomach pain, upset stomach, it's commonly used to improve those symptoms. And the research is limited, but it has been shown to assist with that. However, a warning has been made also, though, if you have GERD, it can agitate that in some people. So it's sort of this double-edged sword in digestion.
Yeah.
GERD I associate with the upper end, you know, closer, you know, up, because it's a reflux issue. But with IBS and things like that, some people use it and see positive benefit from it. But I don't want to vouch for it on the clinical level because there's not enough research.
Are you a fan of mint?
I like mint.
How do you use it?
I actually like mint leaves. If you ever make lemonade, it's great in lemonade. Yeah,
kinda
drop some fresh and sort of use like a spoon or something to. You want to you want to break the leaf a little bit because the oils will seep out if you disturb the leaf. You got to disturb. That's why if you watch somebody make a like a mojito, I don't drink, but I've seen, you know, they take the like a mortar and pestle, but they take a little tool and they put it down in the drink and do this.
Yep.
That's them disturbing the leaf to get the flavor out. It has to, it secretes the oil. So maybe you don't want to say secrete in reference to your food. I'm going to secrete mint into your food. But that's how you would get the flavor. If you just drop it in plain, you might get a little bit of a flavor, but you want to kind of ruffle the leaf or cut it or shred it.
It's so funny how I don't think of mint as an herb.
Yeah, it goes great with anything citrus. Mint and citrus are wonderful together, fresh. And it, maybe if you make a salad, you know how sometimes people make like a berry salad where you have greens, but you put strawberries or blackberries or raspberries and some vinegar.
Yep.
Sort of a sweet, savory salad. Mint leaves are a great addition to that.
Super interesting.
It really brightens the flavor up. Mint's a very unique flavor. Like, I don't know of any other herbs that have a... Well, we have the descriptor, minty, like that cool.
Cool.
When
I think of mint, I think cool.
Yeah, like peppermint leaves or peppermint style has more of a bite to it, almost maybe bitter. And the spearmint has a sweeter, you know, a softer taste to it. I'm a spearmint fan. I like both, but I like spearmint better than peppermint. It's also known to help freshen your breath because of that cool. It's a very strong flavor, so it will come out in your breath when you eat it. So mint's pretty cool. The last one is bay leaf. Bay leaf, I don't think, is as commonly known.
B-A-Y?
B-A-Y.
B-A-Y, bay leaf.
It's also, it's laurel, in parentheses, it's a laurel plant. Bay leaf is a bush or tree. Some people call it a tree or bush. I've got one at my house. The leaves are very tough. Like, they're not, you know, if I went out to an oak tree and grabbed a leaf off of it, it's pretty flimsy, right? I could flap it in the wind. A bay leaf almost feels like, it feels like it's not real, almost. Like it's a really tough leaf. It looks like just a pretty little simple leaf, but it's a tough leaf. It's best to cook it whole. So you'd snip a leaf off the plant, or you can get them dried. Most of the time when people cook with bay leaves, they're dried. And they impart, actually, that's one where the dried versus fresh, the flavor's about the same. So bay leaves are most commonly used in slow-cooked dishes.
What's coming to my mind is when you are getting ready to cook something, you put the leaf in the pot.
Crock pot pot, yeah.
So that's bay leaf.
Bay leaf, yeah, it's this
and
big...
It looks like a leaf.
It's just a leaf. It's like a firm little leaf. It almost, it could smell sort of like Lean's evergreen smell, but not that strong. It has a very unique taste. Bay leaf is one of my favorite flavors, actually. I know it most when because I like German food, and a lot of German meat recipes call for bay leaf to be put in with them, and it imparts this very unique taste.
Can you, what is that taste like?
It's hard to describe it. I don't know how to describe bay leaf taste unless to taste it. It's like evergreen, could lean citrus, but very muted. It's not real strong.
So like leafy.
It's not bitter like if you ate pine or smelled pine. It doesn't have what I would call an earthy taste, like like beets or something like that. Or I would hate it. No, it's just very unique, nice flavor. It pairs well with vinegary things. German food uses a lot of vinegar.
Yeah.
Including the beef dishes, there's usually some vinegar in there. Or acidic food, so it pairs well with those. It's usually put in stews and soups. Another way you could use it is if you were cooking lentils.
Yeah.
You would put a bay leaf or two in there. You could do that. It also pairs well with maybe some rice if you want to put the leaf in with the rice when it's cooking.
So you don't eat the leaf is something
I don't recommend eating the leaf. It's woody and it's tough. Yeah. Even the leaf part, it's not literally woody, but it has that texture. You just fish it out, and it puts a lot of flavor in there. A lot of recipes usually call for one. Anytime I see a recipe, it's like whatever herb, I multiply it by three or four. I love lots of bay leaf. Medicinally, the only one I could find of note was may lower blood sugar. May lower blood sugar. The other thing was because it's an aromatic herb, meaning strong in smell, it can stimulate your sinuses to move, which is nice.
It's really
nice.
So
you eat a stew, it's got bay leaf in it, amongst other things, your nose might run.
Yeah.
You know, to clear out. Yeah. You know. And let's see if I missed any of the foods that I like to pair it with. No, stews, meat, soups. As far as cultural, German food is what I associate it with. I love German food. Mm. Ugh. There's a recipe. There's a dish called Sauerbraten, which is a beef dish.
I love brats. I love any type of brat.
Well, brat and Sauerbraten's interesting. Brat is like sausage or, you know, it's like bratwurst. Or
yeah.
Bratwurst, whatever the, how. Sauerbraten is a different spelling. It's a beef dish. It's marinated for like 3 to 6 days in a concoction of things, and bay leaf is one of those things. At least the Sauerbraten I've had has a very strong bay taste, which I love. So that's bay leaf. I really like bay leaf. If you buy it, it'll grow big. Like it grows into a tree. It doesn't survive you shouldn't keep it outside in the wintertime. So I bring it in. I have a UV light in my laundry room, so I bring it in under the UV light so I don't lose my bay leaf plant. But it's a pretty tough plant. It can endure, I think it can endure, you know, 40 degrees, but you don't want to go to below. It doesn't like that.
Yeah.
It likes hot, you know, full sun. So.
Super interesting.
Yeah.
Now, real quick before we close out the herb series, when you shop for herbs, it sounds like you're growing all these yourself.
I like to buy them and grow them just because in the long run it's cheaper. You know, you buy fresh herbs, it can be pricey. Depends on the season.
So if you use a lot of them, yeah.
Yeah, and you have to use, when you buy them fresh, there's a pressure to use them all quick.
Yeah.
Because they don't last very long fresh when they're cut.
Yeah.
The benefit of having it grown in a pot is you can cut some and the plant will continue to survive. You just cut as much as you need.
Yep.
So that pressure's not there. And you're going to have them early spring through late summer. You know, early fall even, you'll have them. So that's a long time to be harvesting.
Mm.
So the one of these, though, cilantro I've been frustrated with before when I buy it because it doesn't seem to last long.
Mm.
It goes to seed very quickly, which means it starts shrinking at its leaves, and they're not as harvestable anymore, and it's just not as good. So once it bushes out, start using it. But the other two, mint's crazy. It'll grow. You could cut 80% of that plant off in one cut and it'll come back in like a week. That's crazy.
That's wild.
So it's aggressive.
Herbs, man.
Herbs. Herb.
This has been incredible. Thank you guys for watching this series on herbs. Like I said before, we will link part one below where we talk about basil, rosemary, and thyme. So I guess I'll end with this. Thank you again for your time.
Thank you.
Guys, and thank you. As always, we'll see you next time on Dive Into Diet. Don't go away. Thanks, guys, for listening to this episode of the podcast. Please share the podcast with your friends. And if you haven't subscribed yet, please subscribe. We will see you guys next time.